In my darkness, Jesus found me, touched my eyes and made me see, broke sin's chains that long had bound me, gave me life and liberty. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. Oh, amazing truth to ponder, he whom angel hosts attend, Lord of heaven, God's Son, what wonder, he became the sinner's friend. Oh, glorious love of Christ, my Lord divine, that made him stoop to save a soul like mine. Through all my days and then in heaven above, my song will silence never. Worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. My song will silence never. I'll worship him forever and praise him for his glorious love. And praise him for his glorious love.
That's great, isn't it? Isn't that great? That's wonderful. Gospel of John, chapter 13 today. If you brought your Bible, if you didn't, just listen along and we'll look at some verses here in John chapter 13. Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, chapter 13. So appreciate you being faithful here in services this morning. If you found your place and you're able to stand, let's do that in honor of God's word. And if you're not, that's perfectly understandable. John chapter 13. I'm going to begin reading. It's going to be kind of in the middle of the scene here in the upper room. I'm going to begin reading in verse 6 just to shorten it up a little bit. We'll look at some verses here. So now we got verse 6. Then cometh he, that's Jesus, to Simon Peter. And Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. I like Peter, don't you? He's impetuous. No, you're not. Yeah, do the whole thing. I mean, just in that verse 10. Jesus saith to him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet. But watch this now, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. I want to take those words in verse 10, clean every whit. It'll take me a little bit to get there, but we'll get there, okay? So hang with me in the fore part. We'll get to this clean every whit. Father, thank you for the privilege to be in church today, for your word, your spirit. My. Thank you for meeting with us already through the fellowship and the good music, and Lord, just the being together. And now we come to your book, the magnified word. Would you lift it this morning, expose it to our hearts, teach it to us, challenge us, convict us, encourage us, whatever our need is. Would you fill us all with your spirit, both speaker and listener, so that your word, your will could be accomplished today. May you be pleased with our service this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The Gospel of John is a great read in the Bible. Of course, all the books are a great read, but there's just something special about the Gospel of John. John was the disciple whom Jesus loved. That's what he said about himself, okay? Before you crucify him, that does not mean Jesus loved John more than the others. I believe the love of God, love of Christ is level with everybody. John just took the opportunity to be as close to Jesus as possible. And as a result, the love of Christ was more real to John. Now think about that for a minute. The closer a man and his wife become in their marriage, the more real their love for each other is enjoyed. Okay? We've been married now 45 years. Next June, Lord willing, we'll go that long. I realize the love of my wife now more than I did back when I first said I do. We've grown closer over the years. John was that disciple who just got as close to Christ as he could. I mean, just as close as he could. And because of that, the love of Christ was real to John. And he referred to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved. Now, John is the only one of the four gospel writers to include this account in his writings. And to me, this is one of the most touching and convicting scenes from the life of Christ. What happens here in chapter 13 is a part of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples before his crucifixion. They leave this upper room and they go down to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus teaches them on the journey here. And so John is the only one to include what happens here in his writings. In verse number 2, you see the eating and drinking of the Passover meal had ended. It says, and supper being ended. That's a reference to the Passover. The supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper. So the supper is ended and Jesus stands and he does something that shocked the disciples. Look at it in verse 4. He riseth from supper and laid aside his garments. So he laid aside his outer garment. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with the towel. They're in a borrowed room. Custom in Bible times. If you had guests to your house, you provided a servant, and the servant would wash your guests' feet. You understand, it's Middle East. Probably didn't have covered shoes like we have today. They were the more open sandal type wear. And so their shoes would get dusty. And it was complimentary of the host to provide a servant to wash feet. Well, this is a borrowed room. So there's no servant there. Everything's in place. The water, the towel, the basin, everything's there except for the servant. And the disciples, no doubt, are questioning among themselves, you know, none of them had offered to wash feet. Everybody's feet needed to be washed. But Peter didn't offer to do it. Even John made no move. Thomas probably doubted that their feet would even get washed. It takes a little bit to get that, but you understand. Philip was calculating how much water it would take to wash everybody's feet because he was the one who was trying to calculate how much money it would take to feed the 5,000. But nobody is offering to wash feet. Nobody moved until Jesus. He takes the towel, he pours the water into the basin, he begins to wash the disciples' feet and dry them with the towel. Jesus performed the task of a servant. Should they have been surprised? He had told them that he didn't come to be ministered unto. He came to minister. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He will reign as king, but it's not time for that now. It's time for him to serve, and serve he did. Charles Spurgeon preached a message out of this text right here, and the title of his message is Servus Servorum. It's Latin for servant of servants. And that's what Jesus did. He was a servant of servants while he was here. Verses 8, 9, and 10, you look at it here, in the process of washing their feet, Jesus comes to Simon Peter, and Peter says, you know, Lord, you're going to wash my feet? Like, no, you can't be doing this. And Jesus explains something. I'll talk about that in verse 6 and 7 in just a minute. And then Peter said, no, this is not going to happen, okay? Now, what happens, what takes place in this conversation between Peter and Jesus is more than just about washing feet. Jesus is teaching us about salvation, also teaching them about salvation, okay? So Peter says, oh, no, this is not happening. You can put the towel away, put the water away. You're not washing my feet. And Jesus responds with, Peter, if I wash thee not, if I don't wash your feet, thou hast no part with me. If I wash thee not, okay, in verse 8, thou hast no part with me. Jesus was talking about more than foot washing. He was talking about being washed as in being saved. I mentioned verses 6 and 7. Now, I won't go back through each one of those lines individually, but the disciples, you know, they knew Jesus was going to the cross. They understood that. They had come to it fine. But they didn't fully understand the price that Jesus was going to pay for man's salvation. They would soon understand. But in this moment of time, Peter did not understand how low Jesus would humble himself in order to provide salvation for people. Philippians 2:8, Paul said it this way about Christ. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Well, how far did he humble himself? How low did he humble himself? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ, Son of God, God the Son, humbled himself as low as any man could go when he went to the cross, and he did it so that salvation could be provided for every person. When Jesus told Peter, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me, he was saying, Peter, if you are not washed, you don't belong to me. That's Jesus testifying that he and he only has the power to wash sin away. Only by the shedding of his blood can the stain of sin on a person's heart be washed away. You say, well, on whose heart is the stain of sin? Everybody's. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you're born into this world by way of physical birth, you're born with the stain of sin on your heart. It's in your nature, okay? And only by the shedding of Christ's blood can anybody's stain of sin on their heart be washed away. And I will say this, the devil has offered so many counterfeits for salvation. He's offered all kinds of works and things to do is good enough for someone to gain heaven and miss hell. And being religious is one of the most oft-used works. People consider being religious as good enough for heaven. There never has been, is not now, will never be a religious exercise, a religious ritual, or a religious ceremony powerful enough to wash away a person's sin. Never. You go to John 3, same gospel. You got Nicodemus here talking to Jesus. Nicodemus, one of the most religious men ever mentioned in the entire Bible. And Jesus plainly told him, if you're not born again, you will never see or enter heaven. You won't get close enough to see it, much less enter it. Well, if anybody was religious enough to get into heaven, it's Nicodemus. You know what God, you know what Jesus told him? Marvel not. I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The only way, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. No, nothing. Jesus is not even close to saying that water can wash away sin. Water can't wash away sin. Peter, or Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 22 says this, without shedding of blood, there's no remission. There's no washing away. None. Without the shed blood of Christ. Peter would write later on that we are washed with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I can hear Lester Roloff singing, dark the sin that soiled man's nature, long the distance that he fell, far removed from hope and heaven, near to deep despair and hell. But there was a fountain open, and the blood of God's own Son purifies the soul and reaches deeper than the stain has gone. How deep has the stain of sin gone? However deep it's gone, the blood of Christ goes deeper. Go to the bottom. Whatever you want to say is the bottom. Well, I think this sin, and I think this sin. I think this is the worst. I think this sin is at the very bottom. Go as far as you can to the deepest sin. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find the blood of Calvary. You're going to find the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what's there. That's how a person is washed. Verse number 9, that's why when Jesus told Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. You don't belong to me. That's why Peter responded, Lord, then dunk me. Dunk me. Wash my whole, wipe my head, my feet, my whole body. Oh, he was ready for Jesus to wash his whole body. Now look at verse number 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed, saved, born again by the blood of Christ, needeth not save to wash his feet. In other words, what he told Peter was, look, once you're saved through the washing of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you don't need to be saved again. All right? But what you do need is to keep your feet washed. Keep your feet washed. Do you notice in verse number 8, when Peter said, thou shalt never wash my feet, Jesus didn't say, if I wash thy feet not, did he? He said, if I wash thee not. That's salvation. But then he turns around in verse 10, he tells Peter, but you do need to keep your feet clean. You know what that's a picture of, folks? That's a picture of after we get saved, the fact of the matter is we still live in this world. And we still have a sin nature. That sin nature is not eradicated. That sin nature is not taken away. We still have temptation to lie. We still have temptation to do whatever, okay? It's still there. It's still in us. We've been saved, born into God's family. The Holy Spirit moves in. We're a new creature in Christ. You can't take all that away, but we still walk in this world. And as we walk in this world, we're going to disobey God. We're going to sin. We're going to do wrong. We don't have to run and get saved again and again and again and again and again and again and again, but we do have to keep our feet clean. You know what he's saying is to keep you, confess your sin. Confess your sin. That's what he's saying here to Peter in these. See, really, what he said to Peter in verse number 10, he that is washed needed not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean. He was giving Peter and 10 of his other disciples a word of assurance. You've been washed. You've been saved. Once you're saved, you don't need to be rewashed, born again, again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. But you need to keep your feet clean. But then he went on to say, look at the end of verse number 10, but not all. Whoa. What does he mean by that? Well, you follow it up with verse number 11. For he, Jesus, knew who should betray him. Therefore said he, ye are not all clean. And he said to Peter, he said, hey, you know what, Peter, you're clean and the other 10 are clean, but not all 12 of you. Because Judas was not saved. He was the son of perdition. He was the betrayer of Jesus Christ. And Jesus knew that. And Jesus knew that Judas was about to do his dirty business. And that's why he said to Peter, you're not all clean. And soon here in this chapter, Judas leaves. And he goes to the chief priest and he betrays Christ for 30 pieces of silver. Sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then when he tried to return the blood money. See, I don't know what Judas thought they were going to do. Maybe Judas thought they were just going to, you know, you're a bad boy, Jesus. Maybe he didn't know they were going to put him to death. I don't know. When he realized it was blood money, he ran back to the chief priest and said, hey, you got a tie? I don't want this on my hands. They wouldn't take it back. He threw it on the floor. Then you know what he did? He went out and hanged himself. What a tragic end to Judas's life. He's in hell today. I've been a real person, folks, who died apart from Christ because he never was washed. If you're not washed, you have no part with me. You don't belong to me. Are you washed this morning? Have you been saved? You may not remember the exact time. And, you know, once in a while, you have a preacher come through in church. And I've been to places, you know, and they say, if you don't remember the time and the date and the place, then you need to get saved. I disagree with that. It's very difficult for a six-year-old 30 years later to remember all the details of his age six conversion. What you got to know is that you came to Christ confessing that you're a sinner, a helpless, lost sinner, and you deserve the wages of sin, but you believe that Jesus died for you, and you believe that there's enough power in his death, burial, and resurrection to save your soul from hell, and trust Christ. Okay? If you don't remember when that happened, not the exact time, but if you don't remember that happened, have you ever been washed? Have you ever been washed? The young man sitting here this morning, two Sunday mornings ago, after the service, he came and he said to me, he said, I've been waiting for God to show me and tell me exactly when it's time for me to get saved. And he said, this morning, I know it's time for me to get saved. He went back and trusted Christ as a Savior. He got washed. I could point to other people sitting here. Some people got washed at church. They got saved at church. Some people got saved at their home. Some people got saved by the couch, at the kitchen table, at work. You have to follow somebody else's experience. You just got to know that you've had it. And once you're washed, we got to keep our feet clean. We've got to confess our sins. Now understand what you see here, this visual aid from Jesus. Unsaved people have no part with Jesus because they've not been washed from their sin. They don't belong to Christ. Well, I just believe I belong to God ever since I got saved. Well, I'm glad you believe that, but show me a verse in the Bible. You what? You won't find it. It's not there because you're not born into this world belonging to God. Okay? Unsaved people have no part. They don't belong with Jesus because they've not been washed from their sin. Washed or saved people do not need to be saved or washed again. Washed or saved people do need to keep their sins confessed because we walk in this world. And can I say this? Jesus knows who is washed and who's not. He knew Peter was. He knew John was, Matthew, Thomas, he knew all, but he said, you know what, there's somebody that's not, and that's Judas. He's not washed. Do you know that you've been washed? I remember some years ago, and a young man was struggling here. He was, junior, senior in the school, and struggling with salvation, and struggling, I don't know if he's struggling with salvation, struggling with his behavior, and mom and dad, and some of the teachers, and what are you going to do, and so people tried, Brother Mick tried to help and others. And finally, I got to sit down with this young man, looked across the table. We talked for a while, and I said, hey, are you saved? He said, yeah. I said, well, tell me about it. He said, well, my mother said, I stopped. I said, stop. Your mom said? Your mother said? His eyes got about that big around. And I think it hit him. Folks, if that's the basis of your salvation, your mother said, your dad said, the pastor told me. No, it's got to be real to you. You. I said, you're not saved, are you? Tears just busted out of his eyes. He got on his knees there and trusted Christ as his Savior. Are you washed? Are you washed? Huh? Do you have that time in life where you know? You say, I don't think anybody can know that. The Bible says that it is possible to know that you're saved. Okay? That's a Baptist doctrine. It's in the Bible. Irregardless of the Baptists. It's a Bible. These things have I written unto you that believe in the name of the Son of God that you may. Well, I don't think anybody can know that. There you go again. I feel. What does the scripture say? I know. Now, I said it would take a while to get to clean every whit. It did, didn't it? Took a few minutes. But don't worry, we're more than halfway through. Look at this. More than halfway through, all right? But now, there's something else that Jesus says in this dialogue I want to point out, and that's in verse 10. He that is washed, he that's been saved, needeth not save to wash his feet. Doesn't need to get saved again, but he's got to wash his feet. But is clean every whit. You don't need to get saved again. You got to keep the dust washed off your feet. Confess your sins. You don't need another spiritual birth. Folks, how many physical births can you have? And now you're going to tell me you can have a dozen spiritual births? That's not true. And this is why a saved person doesn't need to be washed again, just needs to keep their feet, their sins confessed and stay right with God. That's because a saved person is clean every whit. The word whit, see that little word there, W-H-I-T? We don't use that English word anymore. It just simply means altogether, throughout, completely. Altogether, throughout, completely. The word is used by Jesus another time in the Gospel of John, chapter 5, when he went up to the pool of Bethesda. Remember that story? And here's all these impotent people laying by the pool of Bethesda, and in a particular season, an angel would come and straighten up the speaker, and an angel would come, and he would trouble the water. He'd touch the water, and the first person laying on those porches there to touch the water would be healed of their infirmity. Blind, lame, deaf, the first person to touch the water after the angel troubled it. You say, well, my goodness, that's miraculous. Yes, it is. Does stuff like that happen today? No, it doesn't. We've got a book now, okay? A completed book. But anyway, Jesus walks up to that porch and here's this man. And Jesus says, what do you need? He says, I've been laying here 38 years. Who's 38? Adam Sharp is 38. The only one in the room. And Tom. All right. This man's been laying by the pool of Bethesda as long as Adam Sharp's been alive. Jesus said, what would you like? He said, I'd like to be made whole. But every time I try to get to the water, somebody beats me there. Jesus looked at him and said, rise, take up thy bed, and walk. You know what that man did? He stood up, rolled up his mat, his bed, his garments, and walked. And Jesus, the Pharisees, are ticked off because it happened on the Sabbath day. And they see this man walking. It's not lawful for you to carry your bed on the Sabbath. I tell you, there's sourpusses everywhere. You can't joke with some people. You can't be any bit of fun or jest. It's just, what are you walking with your bed for? So Sabbath day. The guy's been laying there 38 years. I mean, you would think they say, wow, man, you're walking. Oh, no, not the Pharisees. No. Hey, what are you doing? Where are the police? Put your bed down. It's the Sabbath day. I mean, can you think how ignorant that must be? Just ignorant. So Jesus said to them later on, to these Pharisees, are ye angry at me because I have made a man every whit whole on the Sabbath day? You're mad at me for this? Every whit whole. You know what Jesus did? Jesus made that man all together and threw out completely whole. Every whit means completely, not 90%. I don't believe he walked with the slightest limp. I believe he walked like a healthy 38-year-old man. Not 98%, not 99.9%. Jesus made him every whit, altogether, throughout, completely whole. Now, Jesus made that man whole physically, but I'll tell you this, I wouldn't be surprised to meet him in heaven someday. We're not told that he got saved, but what would you do? I think I'd get saved, right? I wouldn't, yeah. Now, that is what Jesus did for Peter and for the 10 other disciples spiritually. He told them, you're clean every whit. You're clean altogether, throughout, completely saved. You don't need to get saved over and over. You're not saved less 5 years after you get saved than you are the moment you get saved. You're clean every whit. He made them clean every whit. And that's what Jesus did for everybody in this room who's been washed. If you're saved, Jesus has made you clean every whit. When Jesus saves a person, he makes them clean every whit, altogether, throughout, completely clean. In the process of watching grandchildren over the world, and particularly grandsons, one of our grandsons was notorious for taking a shower in about 75 seconds. Now, the granddaughters, they run enough water to last a week. But the grandsons, well, son in particular, 75 seconds. I am not kidding. Wife? Yeah, okay. I mean, the water started. I heard it start. I'm sitting right there, and the water goes off. And this is a 9 or 10-year-old boy. You don't get, no 9 or 10-year-old boy gets clean in 75 seconds. Can I get a witness, parents? I said, hey, did you take a shower? Yes, sir. I said, take another one. I made him go back in and take another shower. Wash yourself. I want you clean every whit. I mean, come on, how many of you did you get out of the bath in the shower? Did your mother, did you wash behind your ears? Did you wash behind your ears? You know, no. Wash behind your ears. Okay. Wash behind my ears. What was the question? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole, clean every whit, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Now listen to me this morning. I'm preaching this for a specific reason. Are you washed? You're clean every whit. I want you to consider this today. The marks of sin will linger in the body. The marks of sin will linger. Look here, look at. Unsaved people do things in and with their bodies that are not changed when they get saved. My grandfather was a drunk. Delirious tremens. He didn't die. He got saved. Saved a few years before he died, but he died in his early 50s, mid-50s. Probably that alcohol. You say, well, once he got saved, man, the effects of that alcohol, he's all gone, right? Not necessarily. Are you with me this morning? He carries in his body the marks of sin. And sometimes the devil will use that against people. Well, look at you. See, he's the accuser of the brethren. And he'll use anything he can to discourage a child of God, to disrupt their spiritual growth, to get you to the place where you just say, oh, phooey. I can't get over the hump here because look at this. Look at my body. Look at these marks. Look at all these things in my body. I'm still somewhat. I got saved, but I'm still sick. You need to understand that the marks of sin will linger in your body. But Jesus has made you every whit clean. Friend, you are as clean as the righteousness of Jesus Christ because you're robed in His righteousness. When you got saved, He made you clean altogether, completely, throughout. Amen. Clean every whit. Did you ever take your vehicle in for a complete detail? I like to do that once they you know, you got the seat and then you got the console and there's all that stuff that gets down between the seat and the console on the floor under the seat. I mean, you know, when they detail it, they find breakfast. They find a piece of pizza down there, you know, pepperoni that fell off while you were eating and, you know, you were chewing a toothpick. And then the toothpick fell out of your mouth. Where'd that thing go? Where did that thing go? It went into the abyss. The abyss is that place between the seat and the console. And then you get down there and look under the seat and you go, ugh! They detail it. They get every piece of it, don't they? Man, it comes back spotless. It's clean. And if you've been saved, you've been detailed. You're clean every whit. All the cracks and crevices of your life that sin touched have been made whole. Clean every whit. Now, you may carry in your body the marks of your sin, your past life. But that does not condemn you because you're clean every whit. Number two, the day is coming when the body will be clean every whit. One of these days, Jesus is coming in the air to snatch the bodies of the saved from the grave, those that have died, and snatch the bodies of the living from the earth, those that are saved. And when that happens, the body will be clean every whit. All the marks of sin that remained after salvation will be gone. Your body will be clean every whit. My father-in-law believes that he lost, I maybe said this recently, my father-in-law believes that he lost his arm because he continued in a certain sin after he got saved. He believes he lost his arm because God was trying to get his attention, and God got it. He still has no arm. He's 91 now. But when the rapture takes place, you know what he's going to have? He's going to have an arm. Now when he looks at that, he's always reminded, God had to chastise me. But in heaven, there'll be no reminder of that because the whole body will be clean. Clean every whit. Does that make sense to y'all? Number three, let me just say this. We should be careful to keep our feet washed while we walk in this life. This is what Jesus told Peter he needed to do. Peter, you need to confess your sin. You don't need a body wash. You need to wash your feet. You're walking in this world. Keep your sins confessed. What happened? You know, look, at birth, we are given a good bath, right? Now, we don't remember it. I remember when Cherith was born, you know, and Cherith's number six, so you got 15, Hannah's 15, and Ben's 13, and Abby's 10. And It was back in the old auditorium, and it was on a Wednesday night, right at church time, that Joyce gave birth to Cherith. And Heather Roberts took our, remember Heather Roberts and then Heather Lowe? She took our kids and watched them for us while I was at the hospital. And after church, she brought them down Wednesday night to see their new sister. And it was at the moment in time when they had taken Cherith to, you know, from Joyce, and they had left her in the room for a while, and they took her to clean her up. And we're standing at the glass there and watching as this nurse is scrubbing Cherith. I mean, scrubbing. And I look, and you know, we're all looking, and Abby is standing there, and Abby's this emotional young, right? You know, emotional. And she, and this should not surprise you or that. She's there. She's got the, I look at her, and her face is red. And she's staring. And her lip is quivering. I said, Abby, what are they doing to her? What are they doing? I said, they're cleaning her up. They're cleaning her up. It's what they do to a baby. They're washing her. When you get saved, you get washed. You get washed. Okay? She probably hasn't had a scrubbing like that since that day. Really, seriously. Think about it, moms. Huh? I mean, that nurse was, I mean, no mercy. I mean, oh, mercy. At our spiritual birth, we are all cleaned up. We're clean every whit. We're born into God's family. We never lose our position as a member of God's family, but we do need to wash up every day. And some of us need to be sent back to get a good washing. God, please forgive me today. Can I say what's not good? I got to quit. Man, preached too long. God, please forgive me for where I failed you. That's not enough, folks. I did this, I said this, I thought this. I'm sorry, please wash my sin. And take time to wash behind your ears. Take time for the Holy Spirit to put his finger on what's wrong. He'll show you. You think about the model prayer? Please forgive us our sin, our debts, as we forgive those that have sinned against us. Okay, why is that halfway through the model prayer? Why isn't that at the very beginning? Because in the beginning, you're recognizing the holiness of God and how hallowed He is, and you're talking to Him, and you're walking in the light. And the longer the light shines, the more clear you see. Ladies, is there a difference in cleaning your house in the dark and cleaning it in the full light? The light shows what? Dirt. Forgive me where I failed you. How about, Lord, before you here this morning, I'm going to linger for a few minutes. Please put your finger on what's wrong inside me. I want to be clean. I want to be right with you. Okay? But don't you ever let Satan take the marks of sin that you bear as a result of how you lived before you got saved and use that against you. Don't ever do that. Because when you got washed, you're clean every whit. You're clean. You're birthed into God's family, enrobed in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. You're clean every whit. Now keep your feet washed. Keep your feet washed. Father in heaven, bless the message to our hearts today. Lord, would the Holy Spirit do what I cannot do? Would the Holy Spirit make this clear? Lord, thank you for the precious blood of Jesus that washes our sin away and makes us every clean every whit. All together, throughout, completely. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. A couple of questions this morning. Just please give me your attention, even though your head's bowed and eyes closed. How many would say, Pastor, that helped me this morning. I needed that, and I want to do a better job at washing my feet, confessing my sin. I understand that I'm saved. I'm washed. If I've been saved, I'm washed. I'm clean every whit, clean every whit. But I do need to do a better job at keeping my sins confessed. I don't really even give any thought to it. And I was convicted about that. Could you raise your hand this morning, Pastor? That's me. Pray for me. I see many hands. God bless you. Amen. Amen. All right, carefully now, listen. Just be honest before God today. How many could say, Pastor, I know that I'm saved. I know there's been a time when I got washed. I know it. Because Jesus knows it, okay? Jesus knows who has and who hasn't. But I know it. I know the time. I may not remember the exact time, but I know that has taken place in my heart and life. I've been washed, and I know. Just slip your hand in the air if that's you this morning. I've been washed. Be honest about it before God. Thank you. Would there be anybody here you couldn't raise your hand just now? You say, Pastor, I could not raise my hand now, so I'll raise it. I couldn't raise my hand then, so I'll raise it now because I am not sure I've ever been washed like the Bible talks about. Can I see your hand? Just slip it up. Take it right back down. I'm not sure I've ever been washed. Anybody? Side to side, front to back, upstairs, downstairs, doesn't matter. Anybody? If you've been saved, you've never followed Christ in baptism, I hope that you will. Be obedient to him. Why linger? Why wait? It's the first thing he wants you to do. And if you're a little uncomfortable with raising your hand, all you got to do is see one of us, see one of these men that'll be standing in the front down here. Just tell them, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm washed according to what the Bible says. And if you need to keep your feet clean, better wash behind your ears. Take longer than a 10-second shower. Please forgive me where I failed you. That's not enough. Keep our feet washed. Father, bless the invitation. Speak to our hearts. Help us to keep our feet washed. Thank you for washing us. I pray if anybody's here today not washed, that they would be saved today. Let's stand together. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. The Lord speaking to your heart. You obey him this morning. You obey him this morning. Is he speaking to your heart? Have you been washed? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed? How's that feet washing going? How's that keeping your feet clean going? Is that something you need to do a better? Jesus, forgive me where I failed you today. That's not enough. It's not enough. You want to wash behind the ears. You get clean. Forgiven. Are you saved? Do you know for sure that heaven is your home? If not, you're in a good place to find that out today before you leave. Just come. We have ladies that can show ladies Bible verses, men that can show men how to be saved, how to be washed. You say, you don't know what I've done. I know that the blood of Christ goes deeper. I know it goes deeper than the stain has gone.